This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the Search Update.
All right, here's where we are with the Texans head coaching search. And in a minute or two, we're going to get to the national impression of the Houston Texans. What are national people saying about the Houston Texans right now? Jim Caldwell, his name reportedly, according to Mike Florio, is picking up steam. He is the former head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, took them to a Super Bowl. He was the head coach of the Detroit Lions for 4 years, took them to a 36-28 record, which is actually, to me, harder to do than taking the Colts to a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. Glover Quinn's going to join us in about an hour. He played for Jim Caldwell for 4 years in Detroit, so we'll get his impressions of Jim Caldwell. Seth, and just real quick, the other names, Leslie Frazier, D.C. and Buffalo, going to be interviewing with the Texans. David Culley, wide receiver coach and passing game coordinator in Baltimore, is going to be interviewing with the Texans. I don't know that those are names that necessarily inspire the masses. I don't know that those are names that match up with Cal McNair's description of what the head coach is going to be, where he says it's going to be an extrovert who has guys running through a brick wall. Seth, I don't know that Jim Caldwell is a guy who has guys running through a brick wall. I do know that every former player that I've either talked to or heard talk about Caldwell really like him, but do you give much credence to these reports by Florio?
No, because all Florio did was report that he said this: there is a buzz in league circles that Jim Caldwell could be the next head coach of the Houston Texans.
Sounds like he's going to be the next head coach to me, Seth. I don't know what you're hearing there.
I don't know what that means. That's like me, like if I'm sitting in a party of a bunch of people watching The Bachelor, and I'm like, okay, well, there seems to be a buzz that this, I don't know, this woman might win. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the game works, Sean. Do you win The Bachelor, I guess? Is that what you do?
It's a nuanced thing. I don't know if anybody wins anything on that show necessarily.
Have any of them gotten married?
Yes. Yeah, very
successfully?
Few. Well, many of them have gotten married. The question is, do they stay married? And that answer, yeah, I think you can count on one hand, literally through the years, how many have stayed married. Yeah.
It's a huge shock, I'm sure.
It always feels like true love and like people are there for the right reasons. I don't know.
Does it really? Does it, though?
No.
Like, do you feel like, wow, they're really, oh, it doesn't?
Okay. No, I point at the TV and laugh at these people.
Usually, like, the winner is somebody that you're like, wow, she played the game the right way. Genuinely loves him.
She's going to get her Instagram followers up through the roof. That usually seems to be the end game with all this. They all wind up selling something on social media, so. At any rate, Jim Caldwell, according to Florio, picking up steam. We'll talk about Caldwell. We'll talk about the Texans situation with Glover Quinn, too, in about an hour. Here is Michael Irvin on the Texans not taking Deshaun Watson's advice.
I had already heard about all of the mess that was going on inside of Houston, but I thought no way it would get to this place. You know, okay, you let the receiver go, but no way you're now going to continue to make moves without consulting that guy right there that you just gave $40 million a year. You know what I mean? I was like, no way they would do that. And they told him they would consult him, and then they did not really take any of his advice, nor the advice of the firm that they hired before they made their next hire. It blows my mind.
Okay, get Corn Ferry out of there, please. I don't care about Corn Ferry. It's Michael Irvin, 95. He was on with our sister station, 95.7 The Game, in the Bay Area, talking about the Houston Texans. Real quick, Seth, one more here from Michael Irvin. And this is something that I think you and I have both pointed out, like that Deshaun Watson, the most professional, patient player that maybe I've ever covered, is at this point where he's having to put smoke out there about possibly wanting a trade and being dissatisfied with the franchise that they've driven Deshaun Watson to this point really says a lot about how the Texans are handling this thing. And Michael Irvin echoed that. They're forcing this guy to be this way.
He's not that kind of guy. But you're forcing him to be that guy. You see what I mean? It's not something that he wants to do, but he has to be looking at his legacy. Honestly, guys, think about this. Nobody's going to talk about Bill O'Brien in 10, 15 years or whatever happens in Houston. Nobody's going to talk about the GM they just hired. It's all going to fall on Deshaun Watson's legacy as long as he's there. Ultimately, that's what we're measuring, the quarterback. So it amazes me that when you got the most at stake, that quarterback has the most at stake, that why would you not, in today's age, give him that consideration? LeBron has changed this forever. They see LeBron. They're watching how LeBron is maneuvering and calling shots from the athlete standpoint. It was the owner in Houston that said, we don't want the prisoners running outside when they had them. It was that owner. For that reason alone, I would have made sure that I had Deshaun Watson in hand and right where I need him to be if I was the Houston organization.
Irvin made some really good points there. And you know, when Irvin says that, hey, I've been hearing about these things for a long time, we know that he had a conversation with DeAndre Hopkins after he got traded. And Hopkins disagreed with Irvin's assessment of that conversation, but we know that they had a conversation. So Irvin's been hearing a lot of things. This is the thing. Irvin saying Deshaun is not that type of guy. That is one of the very, very key points, and that I think a lot of people understand and they get, and that's why everybody's siding with Deshaun Watson. People know and realize that Deshaun is not a malcontent. Deshaun's not the kind of guy that's constantly complaining or whining or doing anything about any of this. You know, the complaint has been that he's too positive at times. So for Deshaun to speak up and say something, people listen and think, okay, wow, there is something here. You know, for any teammate, any coach that's ever had Deshaun Watson says nothing but glowing things about him. When your star pupil says, hey, I think there's something wrong in this classroom, then you're going to listen to the star pupil. This isn't the kid that's in detention every other day, you know, and is constantly blaming somebody for why he was late to school or something. This is your star pupil. You want to listen to him when he's complaining.
Seth, I'll point out that we are on the one-year anniversary today of Deshaun Watson following a catastrophic playoff collapse, saying that he loved the head coach. He literally said a year ago today that he loved Bill O'Brien in the wake of Bill O'Brien's darkest moment as a head coach. In fact, here's Deshaun Watson saying just that. This is a year ago today.
No doubt. I mean, you might have doubt, but there's no doubt. I mean, I love that man. I'm going to play hard for that man. And, I mean, y'all can say whatever y'all want to say, you know, through all the media and all the writing. But as long as I'm at quarterback, he's cool with me. You know, he's got my heart. He's going to get all my 110% every time I step on that field. So y'all can say whatever, but I'm going to always be rooting for that man and going to play hard for him.
If anybody that matters over at the Texans is listening right now, I would remind you that the person who said that a year ago about the person that everybody in the building seemed to wind up hating over there, he said that person, Deshaun Watson, was patient enough and professional enough to say that about Bill O'Brien. You have got that player putting smoke out there now about not wanting to play for your organization anymore.
Well, and I think really importantly saying there needs to be a culture shift.
Right.
He said that. You know, he was screaming for the organization to listen to him, for people to listen to him. The day after the last game, saying we need a culture shift. So the culture over there of the Texans, of the Patriots South. And, man, the more I hear that phrase, the more I want to use it, because all you do is keep hiring people from the Patriots. You're the Patriots South, and it created a toxic atmosphere by the end of the year, and then you doubled down on Patriots South, which, again, let me make that distinction. I like Nick Caserio. I don't like the idea of exporting Patriots South to the because Patriots elsewhere, let's call it Patriots elsewhere, it doesn't work. There are people from the Patriots that go elsewhere and do well, but when you try to wholesale export the template, it doesn't work out. We've seen it time and time again. The one thing about all this, too, is this. One of the biggest miscommunications between management and players, and this happens all the time, Organizations are done in by poor communication. One of the biggest miscommunications that happens all the time where both sides hear a different thing, it's when management says, hey, we'll take care of you. Hey, look, make it through this season. We'll take care of you. Usually they're talking about contracts, right? Hey, we'll take care of you. The player hears that, and the player might be thinking, oh, I'm going to get a top five salary next year, where the GM is just thinking, like, oh, we're going to pay him a reasonable salary. He's like an average player, whatever. And then all of a sudden there's conflict because the player feels like he was misled. I think in this situation, when you tell the player, we value your input. We're going to listen to you. Okay, what does that mean? You know, you have to be very explicit in your communication when you get into things like this. Because clearly, whatever was told to Deshaun was not received however things went actually went down. And this is like, this isn't just the Texans. The Texans are doing a really bad version of it. But just football teams in general, as much as you'd love to think they're advanced because it's the NFL and everything, poor communication abounds. It's an epidemic amongst it. Because the problem is, Sean, frankly, it's an organization run by men. We're miserable at it.
Yes.
So that's a lot of what's here. Deshaun Watson was miscommunicated to, and I tend to side with the players on these things because you can't just give a vague message like that to a player.
We heard Deshaun just a moment ago, 1 year ago today, say that he loved Bill O'Brien. Let's go back to the anniversary. Let's go back 1 year ago today. That was the beginning of the end, I think, for Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien never won a football game for the Houston Texans after that Buffalo win, which was a week ago. A year ago today was the anniversary of the beginning of the end. One of the greatest slew of what-ifs in Texans history. If any of these things on that day go differently, are we sitting in a much different place right now? That's next. All right, so a year ago today, the Texans were knocked out of the playoffs by the Kansas City Chiefs. We know how that game went down. They built a 24-0 lead. It's a little bit of a phony lead. You had a block punt for a touchdown. Tyreek Hill fumbled a punt on the 5-yard line.
Hey, you could say the same thing about the Browns and the Steelers, right?
You could. Yeah. You could. Yeah, no, I'm not excusing the Texans. You don't go lose that game 51-31. But I think we knew the Chiefs were going to make a run at them. But the point I'm going to make here is the Texans did the Chiefs a lot of favors in helping them back in that game. And so here's where I want to go with this, and probably need a little mood music for this, Ben.
I'm getting in the mood.
Yeah. So, Seth, there are multiple junctures that day that if they're handled differently, maybe we're talking about a different Texans team right now. Maybe we're talking about a different narrative. Maybe we're talking about Bill O'Brien still being here, because I will remind you that had the Texans won that game, they would have hosted the AFC title game against the Tennessee Titans and have been favored. I don't know if they would have won, but they would have been the favorites to go to the Super Bowl if they could have held on to a 24-0 second quarter lead. So as far as the game itself goes, there were three junctures that I think if Bill O'Brien could have back, he might do them differently. The first one was a 4th-and-1 at the Kansas City 13, up 21-0, and Bill O'Brien's schnutz shriveled and crawled back up into his abdomen.
A 31-yard field goal attempt for Kaimi Fairbairn, left hash mark. Here's the snap, here's the spot, here's the kick, and it's good. And Fairbairn makes it a 24-0 Texans lead.
Guy kicks a field goal to go up 24-0. You have the Kansas City Chiefs on the ropes there, 4th-and-1. You got Deshaun Watson, you kick a field goal. Well, and you'd go on to say in the game you didn't think 24 points was going to win the game. Well, then, just minutes later, Kansas City finally gets on the board. It's 24-7. Texans get the ball back. They're about to go 3-and-out, 4th-and-4 at their own 31. And Bill O'Brien, who just kicked a field goal on 4th-and-1 deep in Kansas City territory, decides to do this deep in his own territory.
Here's Brian Anger at the Houston 17-yard line. Weeks will snap it. Justin Reed calling signals on punt team. On 4th-and-4, and it's a fake. Reed running to the right side, and Reed's going to be short at the 34-yard line. He doesn't make it.
All right, so that's number two. Here's the third and the last one. The Chiefs then take the ball. They make it 24-14. Just moments later, they kick off to the Texans. Still up 10 at the time in the second quarter. Uh-oh.
Here's Carter. at the 1 yard line. Straight ahead. 5, 10, 15. Cuts right 20. And the ball is out. And the Chiefs got it. Thompson running left inside the 10. And he's down to the 8 yard line.
Oh,
Darwin Thompson, a running back, had the ball pop right into his hands. And the Chiefs have a first and goal.
Chiefs will go on to score, make it 24-21. And at that moment, it felt like the Texans were trailing by 20, even though they were up by 3. They would trail at halftime. They'd go on to lose. Seth, if any of those three moments in the first half of that game go differently, if the Texans go for it and go on to get a touchdown to go up 28-0, if they decide to just punt instead of fake punt in their own territory, if Carter just holds on to the football and they can maybe go on a drive, does anything wind up different, or do you think the Chiefs were still going to win that game that day?
Yeah, I don't think we can entertain any of those scenarios really changing anything, because the butt kicking was so thorough and complete, and you could see it with your eyeballs. You know, the consecutive scores allowed, also followed by the Texans not scoring on so many consecutive drives. I mean, just those decisions alone right there, really best case scenario, might have provided you 17 points, I suppose, and then maybe with the swing it comes back. But you lost that game by 20 points.
Right.
I don't know. When you completely get your ass kicked, I have a hard time going back to a decision early in the game and saying, well, that would have changed momentum or butterfly effect or anything like that. I think, no, history would have proceeded pretty much the same. The score might have only been a 17 or 14-point victory, but you were going to get your ass kicked.
I think
day.
If you could have one of those back and you're O'Brien, it's the very first one. I think if he could do it again, he'd go for it on 4th-and-1 there. I mean, and I know I'm saying that with the benefit of you gave up 51 points in the game. I'm saying, like, in the moment, like, that was one where you go, man, you got Deshaun Watson, go for it on 4th-and-1.
Even if they lose, you can look at those decisions and say, yeah, look, O'Brien was one of the most aggressive coaches in the league on 4th-and-1.
Right.
That was the decision there. That's where you go for it. You go for it on 4th-and-1 in that situation, because the downside is, okay, it's Kansas City with a long, long field. I mean, it's still Kansas City. But the Texans defense, O'Brien knew how bad the Texans defense was that day.
Yeah.
And you had to try to stack up as many points as possible. I'm always, and I've been this way, maybe to my detriment, Sean, I'm more forgiving of guys that go for it on 4th-and-1 in their own territories, including Romeo Crennel. It was Bill O'Brien in the Minnesota game.
Yeah.
It's weird, because a lot of people will advocate going for it on 4th-and-1 all the time in the opponent's territory, but then their little analytically minded balls shrivel up when you're in your own territory. I don't know. I'm a little bit more forgiving of that.
I am too, but if you're going to go for it, you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you snap it to the up guy who's got a bad shoulder. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go for it, and I guess, you know, you maybe 4th-and-4 in your own territory, you need a little deception, but I think I'm with you, Seth. You know, as I sit here and call these what ifs, any of those decisions in the first half of that football game, they probably go on to lose that game anyways. Maybe the bigger what if is what took place in the post game. And we'll play it again here. We played it in the previous segment. We'll play it here. Deshaun Watson, I think a lot of folks were hoping that he would at least intimate that there needed to be some change. You know, maybe go a little James Harden. Sometimes it's not such a bad thing to go a little James Harden. Be a little passive aggressive and say, yeah, I know some things that need to change. Harden's not afraid to do that. And Deshaun Watson, I think, certainly is a guy who in the Texans organization should wield similar power to what James Harden would wield. At least his opinion should matter in the buildings over there. So when Deshaun Watson had a chance to say something, you know, about Bill O'Brien, or at least about the state of the team and how they can't get over the hump and something needs to change, instead, he went the complete other way and said this.
No doubt. I mean, you might have doubt, but there's no doubt. I mean, I love that man. I'm going to play hard for that man. And, I mean, y'all can say whatever y'all want to say, you know, through all the media and all the writing. But as long as I'm at quarterback, he's cool with me. You know, he's got my heart. He's going to get all my 110% every time I step on that field. So y'all can say whatever, but I'm going to always be rooting for that man and going to play hard for him.
Seth, I think it's possible that right now, if we're to believe the reports about Deshaun Watson, that I think Deshaun Watson might look back at that quote in the press conference following that Chiefs game and look back and say, I probably should have been more vocal. Maybe vocal is the wrong word, because he hasn't really said anything yet. He's just doing it through people. But I should have been putting up more of a fuss last year after the playoffs were over, as opposed to professing his undying love for Bill O'Brien.
Well, right, but I mean, I don't know, but would that have been disingenuous? I think the Deshaun, we can't get trapped into this mode where we think that everything Deshaun says publicly is some kind of a strategic ploy or something. Mm-hmm. I think Deshaun genuinely wants to do right by his coaches. And I think he probably, maybe I'm naive, but I felt like Deshaun might have had misgivings or what have you, but he felt like the most important thing for him to do is to be all in and moving, in the same direction in alignment with his coach. And he was trying really hard to do that.
Sure.
And in the course of these last 365 days, maybe he learned a few things, about the way the NFL operates. And he also, it's not like he's anywhere near the end of his career, but he can look around and start to see what happens and how long you really have to make your mark on the league. And you only, 10 years flies by in the blink of an eye. I wonder with J.J. Watt, looking at J.J. Watt and seeing how J.J. Watt is one of the best defensive players who has ever played the game, there's a good chance he's not going to be on this team next year. And it flew by a decade.
Yep.
In the blink of an eye, and he's got nothing to show for it. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be that cautionary tale.
Yeah, and that's why I just wonder if he regrets going that over the top about O'Brien.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay,
like if he regrets, I'm not saying it wasn't his true feelings, but nobody says he has to say those things in a press conference.
You know what it is? I don't know how he feels. I don't feel like he should regret that. I don't want to think anybody should ever feel bad about committing to something fully and totally. If you commit, because if you don't commit to something fully and totally, you might never know if it is going to work out.
Yeah.
So you commit to it fully and totally, and then sometimes it doesn't pan out.
Because
you find out that they're scoundrels. Talking about relationships here. Yeah.
I'll point out that 2 weeks later, O'Brien got the general manager title. 2 weeks after Deshaun professed his undying love for him.
It's not like Deshaun's. Look, you can love somebody, but also not think that they should be the general manager.
True.
I love my wife, but frankly, I have a job to do. If somebody calls in and suggests that Brandy be the next general manager of the Houston Texans, I'm gonna have to tear her down. I'm gonna have to list all the reasons Brandy is not qualified to do the job.
Screw that. She'd be better than O'Brien was. Zero doubt. Not even joking.
No. She would have been worse in some ways because she loves DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre was her favorite player. My wife and her nephew were like two of the biggest DeAndre Hopkins fans in the world. So Brandy probably would have been like, I don't know, can I pay him $100 million? Is that allowed?
She would have done exactly what O'Brien feared happening. She would have made DeAndre Hopkins the highest paid player in all sports. Hey, real quick, before we get to the bottom of the hour, do we have Mad Dog, Ben? Seth, you sent this to me last night. We talked about the Nickelodeon broadcast with Ross Tucker. Did you watch any of it, Seth, by the way, the Nickelodeon, the broadcast?
I was the game that I was kind of checking in and out, and I wasn't, I just saw stuff on Twitter, so I saw like the slime in the end zone and all that stuff. Were they showing that on the normal broadcast?
No.
They had
CBS was carrying the regular broadcast, and it was an alternative feed that had Ian Eagle's son and Nate Burleson and some Gabby, a young lady named Gabby, who's a character on one of the shows, I guess. And it was totally catered to kids. They were explaining everything about the game in a very kid-friendly way. I thought it was a great idea. It was
this young gentleman he couldn't play with his buddies for four games because he stuck a needle in his butt.
I don't know.
Because it makes you big and strong like Popeye's spinach, but it's very illegal. Yeah.
Seth, the tone kind of was like that. Like when they were explaining Taysom Hill and Nate Burleson's like, he's the kid who got picked for all the sports first on the playground. But it was
that kids, what you just heard, because there's so many microphones on the field, is the F word now.
Thinking about that. So
I'm going to have to tell you about the birds and the bees and then explain a whole lot of stuff here. This is going to take a while. Ask your parents to leave the room. Yeah,
I think they're going to keep doing that because it was I saw a lot of really good feedback on us. A lot of people and heard from a lot of people because it was going on during my national show. And I heard from some people saying, this is really cool. My kids are actually enjoying watching these football games with me. I love how they're laying this thing out. Mad Dog Russo, who we play cuts from him from time to time, I don't know how he felt about Nickelodeon. I know that he had a really tough time pronouncing Nickelodeon.
Anybody who's watching that Nickelodeon for the game needs their head examined. The girl, when the bear dropped the touchdown in the end zone, said, oh, almost, almost. This is the NFL. Almost. I mean, that's not the response you want. That Nickelodeon thing I could not get into.
Okay. Does he know that that was a broadcast? Not only does he know.
Did he not really? Yeah, because like Nickelodeon, I feel like Mad Dog Russo is actually like a big reader and everything. I feel like he would know what an actual Nickelodeon is.
Right.
If not, he might have actually used them when he was a child, like an amusement park or something.
Not just the pronunciation, Nickelodeon, but the fact that did he not realize like this? There's a reason that this Gabby who said, oh, he almost caught it, there's a reason she was on the broadcast. She's one of the personalities on Nickelodeon. And there's a reason why they were talking down to the audience if you were above the age of 12, because it was catering to kids. I want to hear the rest of Mad Dog's take on you got green slime getting sprayed all over the ice and the end zone. You have they're kicking a field goal and you have SpongeBob's feet in between the uprights. Michael! That's crazy.
Do you think that Mad Dog knew that the slime was virtual and not real?
The spray real slime. It's like Stick'em on Lester Hayes. I can't do any more of that, Seth. You're going to have to do the show yourself if I keep doing Mad Dog.
My voice started to go yesterday because I did an hour show with Show Hughley. Right after his show ended, just on the coaching search.
Yeah.
And then I did a podcast last night with, it's like an AFC South battle fan group on Facebook.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. They were all very delightful people. Patrick Storm was in on it with me. We were the Texans delegation.
You played for Jacksonville and Houston. You were probably a hero on that thing.
Elvis just showed up. There's like diehard Jags fans and diehard Texans fans on there, and they asked me, like, so what was your favorite place to play? And I did just like all of you do with your children. You pretend you don't have a favorite, even though you totally do.
I'm not going to put you on the spot like that, Seth.
Your favorite. I'll tell you your favorites, Sean. You have three. Your kids are your favorites for different reasons and different aspects.
Right.
Sammy has got that little devilish side in him where you're kind of lucky that he grew up with his mom instead of you, because you probably would have like gotten into a fist fight with him at some point. But you like it. You admire that kind of like the little glint in his eye.
I'm not gonna say whether or not that makes him my favorite, because my other son James listens as well. But your assessment of his feistiness is accurate.
No. But if James were your favorite, because like James is the one that's probably most like you in terms of the business side of things,
yes.
The maturity side of things, all of that.
Yes.
And then Judy does so many of the things that like I think Judy has qualities and characteristics that you wish you had, but that you do not.
100%. Seth, that is really, really good. That's a good
I'm
assessment.
A student of people, Sean.
Yeah. You're practically a therapist.
I just sent a book to your daughter yesterday.
You did?
For her to receive it, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Will she read a physical book?
Yes.
Does she even know? I know she goes to Harvard and everything, but does she understand the whole? Okay.
100%.
She knows. She's not going to be like put out that I sent her a physical book instead of a Kindle or something.
Not at all. No, she will absolutely read it. I promise you. That's really cool. Appreciate that. All right, a Deshaun Watson trade could happen. Could. If so, here's how it could go down. Prepare to be scared. Next.
That Nickelodeon thing I could not get into.
I think they're going to have to trade him because I don't think he trusts anybody in their organization. He's a top five quarterback you can win multiple Super Bowls with. Now, the question isn't who should call. The question is who shouldn't call, because there's only seven teams in the NFL that shouldn't call. Seattle, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, and the Chargers. Those are the only teams in the NFL that I could sit there and tell you justifiably don't call. The 24 other, they need to call Houston and figure out what's it going to take. What is it going to take? Because every one of those other 24 teams should sit there and go, we can absolutely upgrade. It's worth it, whatever they want. I don't care if it's four first-round picks. It is worth it to go get him.
That's Dan Orlovsky on Get Up talking about Deshaun Watson. And that they have to trade him. They don't have to trade him, Seth. As you pointed out, Dan's gotten a little hot take-ish. We love Dan, but he's...
Deshaun has not requested a trade.
Right.
Like, that's it's driving me insane, because now I'm starting to see people talk about it like Deshaun is agitating to get out or anything. Deshaun, all along, the only thing he said is that he wants a cultural shift, he wants change, and even through his representatives and sources, nobody credibly is saying that Deshaun is asking for, agitating for a trade.
Yeah.
So why on January 12th, you're going to trade Deshaun. You got to trade Deshaun. Come on.
How?
Let it go. You've got time to fix these things.
You do. Let's just pretend for a second, though, that it gets to a place where it does start to look like these two sides are not going to be able to smooth things over. Conventional wisdom would say, well, Deshaun's got a contract. You know, he's signed up for the next 5 years. He doesn't have a ton of leverage. Now, he does have a no-trade clause. We should point that out. So if the Texans did start to engage other teams in trade talks, Deshaun would be able to say yay or nay as to which team he would go to. Do NFL players, Seth, have the same power that NBA players do? Because it seems like any NBA player who's a star player, even when they're under contract, can force their way out. I mean, the Rockets... They've held on to James Harden, and James Harden is playing nice with them for now, but I don't think there's any doubt that behind the scenes, the Rockets are taking all kinds of phone calls about deals. If it were to come to that, does Deshaun have any sort of similar power as a star NFL player under contract?
You know what, Sean? I'm so glad I'm actually writing that down so I can write about this later.
Okay.
You asked a really good question. Do NFL players have the same power as NBA players? The answer is, in Houston, they do. Because Dwayne Brown wanted out, got out. DeAndre Hopkins wasn't happy, send him on his way. If Deshaun Watson wanted to be out, or if he wanted to be agitating or anything like that, yeah, I think the Texans would. They can't. They're obsessed so much with culture that they destroy their culture. They are like, they are freaking Lenny petting that damn pet mouse of Mice and Men. Mm-hmm. Is it Lenny that was the big fella?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. They value culture so much that they destroy their culture by exporting anybody that shows a shred of discontent. So in Jackson or in Houston, yes, players have that power. If they want to get out, they just agitate a little bit, the smallest amount, and they'll find their way out the door. And that's why I'll, again, keep pointing out, Deshaun Watson hasn't requested a trade. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be out. I do wonder what the Texans' intestinal fortitude is for any kind of a protracted dispute between Deshaun and the team. And it's not a contract dispute. This isn't a player asking for more money. This is a player asking the Texans not to screw up the head coaching hire.
That's an important distinction, because Dwayne Brown and DeAndre Hopkins, both of them, a big part of what their issue was with the team was contractual. I think there were other things going on with both guys, too, but there was a contractual element. There is zero financial or contractual element, is my guess, when it comes to Watson, who is the second highest paid player in football. The only way it could be an issue is if Deshaun Watson wants to be higher paid than Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think he wants to be higher paid than Patrick Mahomes!
This is where Mike Sando wrote a really good piece on The Athletic yesterday.
Yes.
He always does. He's like, he could basically program a radio show because he's got really good content. But he talked about, okay, in these holdouts, what matters really is if there's an emotional component.
Mm-hmm.
That if somebody is entrenched. So let's say hypothetically Deshaun Watson did want to get out, which he has not said at all. He hasn't said that he wants out, but let's say hypothetically he did want to get out. What they brought up was Carson Palmer in Cincinnati. When Carson Palmer famously said that he would rather retire than play any more in Cincinnati. And he stayed the hell out. And eventually, I think it was, by October of that year? I had forgotten that he actually made it into the season before the Bengals traded him away. Yeah, if Deshaun is as angry as Schefter has reported, and if he is that agitated by all this stuff that's going on, and the Texans don't fix it, if the Texans don't rectify that, then it might turn into, hey, you can take your arguments about all the money it's going to cost them and throw them out the window. Because I don't know about you, Sean. I've done things in my life before that didn't make any financial sense at all that I did for spite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I just, like, I was like, nope, I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm not crossing it. And maybe Deshaun gets to that point.
Well, if he's dug in, and see, I'm glad you brought up the Sando piece, Seth, because he talks to a number of former and current executives. I think even a head coach or former head coach was in it. He's got a lot of quotes from people who have either observed, been close to, or been directly part of situations like this before. Some of the quotes that are interesting from in here. He says, to your point earlier about Dwayne being able to get his way out, DeAndre being able to get his way out, he says, based on recent evidence, anyone who spots Cal McNair at a poker table should pull up a chair. So, you know, basically saying that if Deshaun Watson were to get into a staring contest with the organization has a history of flinching. And, you know, Cal McNair has not really acquitted the organization very well over the last month or so in situations like this.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny is, I mean, for the most part, I'm trying to think of where the Texans have gotten a value in anything as of late, including Jack Easterby, who makes a reported $3 million a year. I haven't had anybody correct me on that yet. So,
McClain has said he does not make $3 million
a year. Oh, he did say that?
I don't know if he said it on our show or if he said it on In the Loop, but I've heard McClain say that on our air before. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll stop saying that.
Yeah.
But as far as it just does seem to be either, okay, we're either going to give you a boatload of money, like record-breaking money like Laremy Tunsil, or we're going to find a way to just get you out of here and trade you for not that much or whatever it takes to get you out the door.
Yeah.
Look, Deshaun deserves the contract he has. The one thing I would say is that the Chiefs got Mahomes on a deal that on the surface looks like a much more lucrative deal, but is actually very friendly to the Chiefs because they have control for 10 total years. Like, yeah. Pat Mahomes, if he stays healthy, will be underpaid by year 4 or 5, and then they'll probably rework the deal or what have you. But, like, Watson's deal, even though it's not as much money per year, is actually a lot better than Mahomes' deal in a lot of respects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like the Texans really covered their ass in a lot of ways, other than that they could still trade Deshaun Watson,
yeah,
if you want to think that that's a thing. Deshaun's got a lot of he's got a lot of power here.
I think he does too. The article by Sando, I think, brings up points and counterpoints that make it for an interesting read. And depending on where you are with this whole Deshaun thing and what your level of fear is that the organization could move him, or maybe you're on the other side and you think, you know what, if somebody comes at you with a boatload of picks, I would look at moving Deshaun. He points out, Seth, David Mulugeta is Deshaun's agent. David Mulugeta is the one that engineered Jalen Ramsey's trade out of Jacksonville. Now, Jalen Ramsey had to do some things there that it wouldn't appear that Deshaun Juan Watson is wired to do, at least not yet, which is Jalen Ramsey had to be a bit of an a-hole behind the scenes to get that done. He had to talk about how disrespected he was by Tom Coughlin. He had to show up in a Brinks truck. At training camp.
Yeah, and remember, they didn't execute that all that well. I was disappointed in the execution of that. I thought Jalen Ramsey had more showman to him than that.
If you're someone who hopes that Deshaun Watson is going to eventually, that this gets smoothed over, Mike Sando brings up Dan Marino and his early career issues in Miami. Now, keep in mind, that was a Super Bowl team that Marino played on early in his career. But Dan Marino had a very acrimonious contract negotiation with the Dolphins in like his third or fourth year, to where both sides were going public with what the communication was. It was bad back in the day. And eventually Marino stays with the team for 15 years, and now he works in the front office in an ambassador role for the team. You know,
I think that one thing that's different now, you got to remember with a new CBA, is that it is harder to hold out. It was already kind of hard to hold out. Now, one thing that they're changing is that teams aren't allowed to wipe out the penalties for holding out anymore. Used to be a guy would hold out, it would all be forgiven, and then, you know, they'd wipe out the penalties after everything was smoothed over. This would be a different kind of holdout because it would be Deshaun not holding out to get a better contract. It would, hypothetically, if it came to that 8 months from now, it would be a holdout where he just said, nope, I'm not going to play for you guys. It would end up costing him potentially millions of dollars. But again, if he's entrenched and he just flat out is committed to it, he might not care at that point.
Seth, you say 8 months from now, and maybe you're just throwing that out there as a number. I think we're going to know probably 4 months from now. If Deshaun's not showing up at things like OTAs and minicamp and stuff like that, then that's where we are. Like, he's entrenched and he wants change if he's not showing up at that stuff, because he has been openly discussing how he doesn't want to see the CBA and the Players Association get rid of that stuff. He likes that stuff because he can build chemistry with his teammates. If he's not here for that stuff as the not just the quarterback for this team, but a card-carrying good guy quarterback for a team, a leader. Yeah. If he's not here for that, it's bad. It's bad.
Somebody says, hey, he's under contract. Let him sit and he'll want to play just like Harden. He's under contract. This is the difference. Harden is not angry. You know, Harden wants a change of scenery. Harden wants this. Harden wants that. But I don't. He's not angry on the same level as Deshaun Watson. Where Deshaun Watson is angry like we're angry in terms of he sees that the team is headed in the wrong direction. He doesn't want to leave. Like that's what's so weird about all this. Like Deshaun Watson is being the athlete that you really want. Like he wants to stay with his team. But he just wants better for it. He wants the direction to be changed and different. And who knows? Like we haven't gotten to that point where we're talking about holdouts or anything. It's a few months down the road. But you do have to worry and wonder about, okay, does it happen before the draft? Does it happen before free agency? All of that. I don't know. I don't think, honestly, we can talk a whole lot of doom and gloom and worst case scenario. I'd be really, really surprised if Deshaun Watson gets traded, because I think the Texans are not going to hire a head coach that Deshaun Watson doesn't approve of at this point.
Yeah,
I don't think it started out like that, but I think that's where we are now.
I do too, and I think as we hear all the, and we're going to get to a head coaching search update at the top of the hour. And Glover Quinn, by the way, is going to join us in the next segment, former Houston Texan, who we can get thoughts from Glover Quinn on Jim Caldwell. Glover Quinn's last 2 years in Detroit were Matt Patricia years, so we can certainly get his thoughts on the Patriots culture, infiltrating a building, and just thoughts as a player, as somebody who I think is probably an admirer of Deshaun Watson and a former Texan, too. How does he feel about the state of this franchise right now? So Glover Quinn's going to join us in the next segment. We'll get you the latest on the Texans head coaching search. There is an update as well on one of the favorites. Well, I say favorites. I don't mean betting favorites. I mean one of the favorites of Houston Texan fans. One of the final four coaches that you had on the bracket looks to finally becoming very close to coming off of the board. He's getting a second interview. He's the first one to get a second interview with this particular team. We'll tell you who that is next. Glover Quinn, next as well. Stay there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.